There is no place for the weak-willed or hesitant. Only by firm action and resolute faith will mankind survive. No sacrifice is too great, no treachery too small. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. This is episode 77. I did not have an episode last week, and I do apologize for that random delay. I was not feeling well. I've had consistent migraines and stuff started a while back and stuff, but they're not as bad as I think what a lot of people describe when they describe migraines, but they're bad. They're still pretty bad. I hadn't had one in a while, and it just kind of happened Thursday when I went to record. I took a nap beforehand. I woke up feeling worse. Then before I took a nap, and then I ended up sleeping a whole shit ton after that. Woke up Friday feeling better, but then I just didn't have time because of work and shit. So, it just couldn't happen, unfortunately, given timing of everything. And, the work thing, too. Like, normally I don't work Friday nights, but in this case, I did have to. But by the time I got up, I forgot about this whole thing, but I had spent almost my entire Friday morning on the phone with my car insurance company and stuff. Nothing bad, actually. It was a very good thing that I did. It just took four fucking ever. The good news is I'm going to save buku bucks, yearly on my insurance now. Like, a lot of money. But not that I'm going to be rich, but just that I was making myself very poor because of it. But now that is not going to be a thing. So basically, between feeling like complete and utter garbage, thanks to my fucking brain, followed by work and adulting shit, it just didn't happen, unfortunately, timing-wise. As far as even fitting this episode in this week goes, too, admittedly, it was kind of difficult even finding the time to do this, because I am going to be going on a family vacation this weekend. So yay! It'll actually be the first time that I have gone on a family vacation in a very, 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 very long time. So, it'll be interesting overall, but, unfortunately, yeah, tomorrow, with my schedule and stuff after I get out of work, gotta boom, boom, bang, get some stuff done, get kids, and get ready to rock and roll Friday morning. So it's just, I'm not going to have time to put out the episode otherwise. So, that's actually, I guess we just jumped straight into what's going on in my neck of the woods as part of that. But yeah, that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. Work sucks. It's been kind of a time suck for me. And then just feeling like crap, doesn't help on top of that. So, but, other than that, as far as like hobbying and things of that nature goes, this past week, I've just been abysmally busy, overall. So haven't really had much of any time, unfortunately. I did have my birthday this past Sunday, so yay, that was fun and nice. I did get a few cool things and stuff. I actually got the Age of Sigmar Munchkin game with one of the expansions. I also got a paint mixer, a Vortex mixer, so I'm excited to give that thing a whirl because I've got some old paints that are going to crap. And admittedly, I actually have a few paints that I bought not even that long ago. In particular, I've got a couple metallics that were not on my last paint run, but the previous one, which maybe a month or so before that, I think, that were pretty much not really working all that well right out of the pot, as it was. So I'm looking forward to putting that thing to use, and got some mixing balls as well. I also got a Gothazar Harvester, so another little project to add on to the Ossiarch Bone Reapers that I have. So I did get a little bit of plastic crack. It was a nice day and stuff. I had to work in the morning, unfortunately. I spent a very large portion of my day at work, and fortunately, it was the one day at work that didn't totally suck. I had several shifts in a row before that were just soul-sucking. So, oh well. Anywho, yeah. So, you know, I guess I can't really complain too much. I do once again apologize that there was no episode last week. I was really excited to put one out because of all the stuff that they had previewed over the weekend before that, but IRL is very much encroaching, so it is what it is, that's it as far as what's going on in my neck of the woods. Today's episode's probably just going to be a bit shorter, not necessarily because of lack of things that I wanted to discuss, but just lack of time this week. So I'm going to, you know, hit a few important bullet points and whatnot. I did have some content that I intended to try to do this week initially, but I admit that I kind of forgotten about the fact that between work and birthday and family vacation, everything else, I just wasn't really gonna have time to actually dig into that content. So I'm gonna save that bigger stuff that I had planned for now, primarily just kind of go over some some more newsy bits and whatnot. So gotta take a quick little break for the sponsor thing, and we'll come back and we will jump into all of the new preview-y bits. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to be a little bit of a shorter episode overall. Once again, not due to lack of content this week, just due to lack of time. But since I did miss the episode last week when I did not intend to, I've decided that I'm still going to put one out all the same. I cannot apologize enough for missing out last week, but here we are. Let's get into it. So, big thing, obviously, was the Warhammer preview, which we will be going over that a little bit, even though it's a little out of date now. But we'll go ahead and just cover some newer news overall. For starters, you can now pre-order the last of the stuff for Blackstone Fortress. The more I read about Blackstone Fortress, the more I'm kind of bummed that I never picked it up when it first came out. And trying to find a copy of it now is kind of a bitch, at least from what I've seen. I've also been really hankering to get my hands on a copy of Necromunda Underhives, since they have the whole Necromunda Underhive Wars video game coming out here in a couple days, that I'm also very excited for. But damn, get that box set is quite pricey from what I've been able to find, so... if anybody's got one, just kind of collect the dust, either that or Blackstone Fortress, and you're like, man, I really just want to give this to somebody who is kind of a cool person, I guess, but I don't want to break their bank in the process, hit me up. So, you could do that now, and then starting this Saturday, so the 5th, is that the date? Yes, the 5th. What do they call themselves? Yeah, goddamn, the new High Elves, the Lumineth Realm Lords. Man, my brain totally just... there's going to be separate kits and stuff available for pre-order starting on Saturday, including tech lists, which I did want to bring this up because, holy fuck beans, he is expensive. He is really expensive. It's kind of ridiculous. $170. Holy shit. I will say, you know, quite frankly, there already are kits that are $170 or more, but most of those are like gigantic, beefy, you know, fucking like knights and shit like that. The fucking Command Edition of Warhammer 40K 9th isn't even $170. This is one single fucking model. Now, mind you, he's going to be quite large, just looking at him in the pictures and stuff. He is going to be a big character. It is a very nice-looking model overall. But, I don't know, man. $170, just like, for an HQ choice, just seems very, very, very steep. So, I have mixed feelings about this. When you think about, once again, how many models you can get otherwise by not buying Techless, you know, we have some other, you know, higher priced dudes too that are like roughly equivalent as far as power or, you know, role goes in Age of Sigmar, like Catacross, but he's only like $110, and that's still expensive, but it's at least somewhat semi-sensible. I don't know, man. $170 for Techless, I don't know if you're going to be seeing a whole lot of people rocking him necessarily. I haven't seen much on the rules. What few people I have kind of seen talking about him and whatnot, I got a few friends or whatever. I haven't talked to them directly, but just seeing stuff they've been posting, they're not super fucking thrilled that he is, you know, $170. But whether that's, you know, because they don't want to spend that kind of money or he's not worth that kind of money, is hard to say. Sometimes people just get kind of, oh, that's totally bullshit and it's not worth it because they just don't want to spend it. They know it's totally worth any amount of money because it's mega fucking killer. I think Archaon too, though, now that I think about it, is around that price point as well. So, I mean, he is a significant size model. You know, it's not like you're buying something the size of an infantry model for $170. GW hasn't totally drank their own Kool-Aid to the point where they've gone crazy. But I don't know. It's very, very steep. We'll see. Overall, you know, once again, I have not seen his rules, but maybe once I see those rules, I can look at it and go, all right, well, yeah, okay. Sounds good to me. So, but yeah, like I said, cool looking model. And it looks like it'll be a fun painting project, but I don't know. That's a lot. I would much rather get a bunch of models at $170 versus just him. Namely because of the fact that unlike a knight army, which, yeah, knights are very expensive, but you're going to buy like two or three of those bitches and be done with it at best. You know, this is, you know, you're going to still need an army to make Techless worth his, you know, worthwhile. But from what I've gathered, two points wise, these guys are more expensive in general. They're looks like they're going for a very much elite style army. So maybe, you know, one way to look at it is your overall investment money wise is not really going to be that high. When you think about the fact that, you know, I'm going to spend $170 on Techless, but then I'm only going to spend maybe a couple $100 on the rest of the army and be done with it. You know, it's hard to say, you know, unlike, say, you know, like a horde style armies in general, actually, you know, orcs, night haunt, those things that my lovely lady likes to focus towards. They're not only bears as far as, you know, hobby project is concerned, but they're expensive because of the amount of fucking models you got to buy. Definitely not knocking the choice, though. I used to rock, back when they were called Imperial Guard, now Astra Militarum. That used to be my go-to army, you know, so I used to know all about hordes of infantry and stuff. And at one point I had a Tyranid force going too, so a bunch of little Griblies. You know, I do miss playing Tyranids too. I miss playing both those armies though. But unfortunately, bills became a thing and now they're no longer in my possession. So, oh well. Maybe someday again I will rebuild those forces. But, that is neither here nor there. Let's go ahead and move on, shall we? So, as I briefly mentioned, Necromunda Underhive Wars is coming out on multiple systems, like PC, PS4, Xbox One. I don't think it's Switch. No. So PC, Xbox One, and PS4. And that will be out on the 8th, if I recall correctly, this coming Tuesday. If you have played Mordheim Cities of the Damned, it is made by the same people. That game is really fucking good. If you like, tactical squad-based with RPG elements and stuff, somewhere in the realm of like XCOM and whatnot, this is probably going to be your thing. So definitely give that a look-see. That being said, too, there were a couple new games that they'd announce. Blood Bowl 3 will be coming out. I have the first Blood Bowl. I've played it for a grand total of like 5 seconds, because back when I first got it, my computer that I had could not handle it. That was quite some time ago, though. I just haven't touched it since, so I don't know. My computer I have now should be able to handle it more than fine and everything, but back then it just couldn't do it. But yeah, for those who are excited about Blood Bowl, there you go. There's a third one. The big thing, though, was they finally announced, I'm trying to remember, I want to say it was sometime early last year, that Focus Home Interactive had this whole thing where they were, announcing very vague announcement-wise. They just had, little flags, essentially, little images to represent all these different games that they were working on, including a few different Warhammer properties, and one of them was an Age of Sigmar based game being made by guys, I don't remember the name of the company now, because they are guys who used to work at Relic, and they had worked on they had worked on like Dawn of War, my brain just clocked out there. Dawn of War, Company of Heroes, shit like that. Some of them have also worked on like the Homeworld Deserts of Karak, that spinoff from the Homeworld series. So some really big pedigrees in the strategy realm. And now they've formed a new company. And they have Warhammer Age of Sigmar Stormground in the works. It's supposed to be a tactical turn-based combat game. From what I've seen, turn-based strategy skirmish game. That's how they describe it. So, tomato, tomato. It sounds kind of cool and stuff. I'm very, 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 very nervous, though, actually, to be perfectly honest. Namely because that Realm Wars phone game, I know it's completely apples and guacamole here comparison wise, but it's fucking awful garbage and I hated it. So I've got some weird superstitious not hopes for an Age of Sigmar based game all the same. Even though I'm really excited and I want it to be good, that whole thing made me go, ugh, GW, what are you doing? Also, too, because quite frankly, while there's some veterans here that are really working on, that put out some really awesome product back in the day, they've also got some shitty track record, too. That being said, I don't know how many of these guys, because, they've moved companies and made new companies and so on and so forth. So I don't know how many of these guys who were involved in, like, the original Dawn of War and the original Company of Heroes and stuff like that versus guys who worked on Dawn of War 3, and that's what I'm really nervous about is fucking Dawn of War 3. Dawn of War 3 is trash. It is awful and I hate it. And I can't describe how fucking disappointing that game was. If you're unfamiliar with Dawn of War, I highly recommend, beyond all reason and measure, you pick up the first one. Get the first one with all of its expansion content. Go ape shit. It's old, and it looks it at this point, but it is phenomenal. And then Dawn of War 2, I have mixed feelings on Dawn of War 2 overall. There's a lot of things I love about Dawn of War 2, and there's a lot of things I'm not crazy about. you know, their choice to switch it from more of the epic base building with, you know, huge armies clashing sort of thing to more, yeah, you build a couple small things here and there, but not much. And just small squads just going toe-to-toe and being done with it. The gameplay mechanics-wise, like, the actual combat was really good and stuff, but it was just kind of a letdown in those regards. Dawn of War 3 is a mess. It is a game that really wants to somehow be both an old-school, you know, RTS base building and all that jazz, while also being a MOBA, and it fails to be good in either regard. Admittedly, I really hate MOBAs. They are probably one of my least favorite game types overall, well, as far as strategy games specifically goes. Yeah, this was just, it is awful. I cannot recommend Dawn of War 3, even if somebody is going to sell it to you for like $5. That's $5 you could put towards paint. That's $5 that could go towards the cost of a squad or something like that. Save the $5 and spend it somewhere else. Or you could buy toilet paper and wipe your ass. You know, that at least accomplishes something to make your life a little better. Dawn of War 3 is not worth shitty toilet paper. You know, like legit used toilet paper. It's not worth it. So, yeah. Anywho, now that we're off of that subject of Dawn of War 3, going back a step here, depending on who it is who's working on Stormground and what they're thinking of doing with it and so on and so forth, it could be really badass. It could be beyond god-awful. But that being said, I am excited about it. I'm hesitant, but I am excited. So I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping it is good. So, all right. So moving on here, though. Let's, you know, I'm going to dial it back a couple weeks here. I'm going to go back to the preview that we had a couple weeks ago, because I am very excited for much of the content that was shown. I did watch the stream live, and it was quite good. I already knew up front 40K wasn't going to be the focus point and stuff. But I do wish there was more 40K, because 40K is my favorite. I'm just, yeah, in case that wasn't obvious. But there was some cool stuff. They did open it up with talk about the Horus Heresy Crusade Book 9, which it's cool that we've got the Lion coming out now. I really like the new Night Lords models, etc. I just don't know a goddamn person who plays this game. And from what I've heard, too, the rule set is still very outdated. I don't know if GW's done any sort of real updates to it. Obviously, they're putting out new books, but, you know, the base rule set sounded like it was pretty archaic at this point. So we'll just have to see how that turns out, though. Moving on, they did show off some new stuff for Necromunda. I know they just released the House of Blades with all the Escher expansion stuff there. And now House of Iron is the next one that they are putting out, focused on the Orlok. Some pretty cool looking stuff there. I, once again, I'm not really super familiar with Necromunda. I'd like to get more familiar with it, though. Orlok is one of the gangs that does interest me. I think all of them have a lot of cool looking stuff to them. I think my personal least favorite is probably the Vansar, just from the stuff I've seen and whatnot. I like the idea behind them, but I don't find the models quite as interesting as, particularly the Escher. Now that I think about it, though, Goliath is kind of not my, you know, it's just kind of dude broed out and whatnot, but at least it's got some interesting quirks and stuff aesthetically. Whereas the Vansar are just a little bit cookie cutter looking, I guess. The models all just look too similar to each other, in my opinion, versus some of the other gangs. So, but like I said, that's just me. Everybody's got their own thing. So, moving along though here, the things that I was most excited about from the preview, were the 40K related things, primarily. In particular, the new Hexmark Destroyer. This guy, super badass looking model. Obviously we don't have like really rules or anything else, so he might totally turn out to suck and not be worthwhile, but he's really cool looking. It seems like he's going to kind of fill a similar role to like the Keller morph, for G-Stealer Colts, in that he's going to be a drop in and just fuck up your shit sort of thing and then die quickly himself, because he's probably just going to fold like a wet paper bag. Maybe not so much, because he's still a Necron, and so he's got, like, you know, the reanimation shit and everything else going on. Really cool-looking model, though. He's got, like, six of these, what do they call it, Enmitic Disintegrator pistols. You know, six of these pistols, six arms to go with it. So, kind of like the Keller Morph, also in those terms, too. Just a lot of extra arms, so why not pack them full of guns? But, yeah, really cool-looking model. I think it'll be rather interesting to see how he fits in role-wise to a Necron army. You know, right now you got the Deathmark, obviously, in and of themselves. But most of the rest of the army doesn't really do the whole hop in and sacrifice yourself and call it a day sort of deal. And he may not be in that realm either. You know, until we see the rules, he could turn out to be, yeah, he's super stealthy and dropping in randomly, but he's also really tough and powerful, but from a balancing perspective, something that can sneak about usually isn't super tough, so we'll see. Beyond that, though, with 40K, they did announce a couple expansion things, a first mission pack for Crusade mode, which will be kind of cool, I think. I've already kind of made it obvious that I think Crusade is one of the coolest things that they've showed off with 9th edition. But I really hope they keep putting out these mission pack books and stuff. I mean, I guess, assuming that they're quality, you know, if it's just total crap, what do I care? But my hope is that it will be rather, you know, good content. As I kind of mentioned before in my review of the Crusade system a few episodes ago, it seems like a really I'm trying to think of the word, basic set of rules as far as a campaign is concerned, and hopefully they would expand upon it, and here they are doing exactly that. So it's going to be specific to like the Pariah Nexus, so there's going to be a bunch of probably like Necron tech that you can, you know, commandeer and whatnot, a lot of things related to that. So I'm hoping it's got stuff kind of like Vigilus had, where it's going to add a lot of cool little twists and stuff like that, that you can do scenario wise to make your battles more interesting, on top of having that more robust campaign system. So but yeah, I think it'll be really cool, and with everything they got going on story wise too with 9th edition, this type of system of expansions just provides a lot of opportunities for interesting lore, too, and gameplay tied into lore. So they also have, like, the scenery from the Command Edition that's now going to be available separately, which, cool, you know, that's nice. It does, they are going to include a new item in that kit, so... You know, GW puts out some nice terrain. It's not the cheapest, but it's nice and stuff. So I think it'll be a cool thing. And especially with how much 9th edition has overhauled the terrain system, it's kind of nice to see them trying to put more of that product out. Lastly, with the 40K related stuff, this thing I don't know how I feel about entirely. This I feel like is going to have to feel it out when I see it sort of thing. Chapter approved mission pack tactical deployment. It just sounds weird the way they explain this. It's 18 matched play missions. So it's not, you know, it's meant for like tournament play, or just general match play. But what's really weird is that you basically have to bring your own terrain is the idea behind it. They do mention that in this article, even they say it's much easier for event organizers and clubs to run tournaments. No need to paint 500 ruins to populate the tables. You just run a tactical deployment event, and then everybody has to bring all their shit with them. This I do not like for multiple reasons. I do feel like anybody who's running an event like that is, you know, doing a disservice to the community to a degree. I mean, I can see where in some cases or whatnot, like especially if you're getting events off the ground and you don't have much, you might ask your players to be bringing stuff in anyway so that you can actually do the event in the first place. So I get that to a degree. There's situations where that's helpful. But I think in many cases, your event organizers should be the ones worrying about that shit. End of story. Plus the idea of creating a weird rule set so that one player brings half the table, the other player brings the other half the table. It's just a bizarre, weird setup that I feel like is not going to... I don't feel like it's going to make the game very fun, is kind of what it boils down to. Because now players already have to bring all of their own models, which, obviously, your dice, your tape measures, you got to bring all these fucking books on top of everything. And now you got an extra book that's just specifically for how to deploy your fucking terrain, essentially. And I also have to bring all my terrain on top of that, bring my own shit. It's just going to turn events into this, you know, everyone's going to have to pack multiple suitcases worth of shit to go anywhere and play, you know, a handful of fucking games. In a small casual setting, I can see this being, you know, somewhat helpful once again, but like on a mass scale tournament setting, yeah, it's going to be better for the organizers, but for the players, it's going to be fucking awful. Yeah, I mean, I'll reserve final judgment for once it's in hand, but as it stands, I have zero hopes of this being a good addition to the game. I really don't think it's going to do much for it. So I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt things, because I don't think many people are going to fucking use it. You know, if it was going to become a tournament standard, just a regular thing that's always got to be happening at most tournaments, then I think you're going to see the tournament scene get hurt more than anything else. So, but moving on from complaints there, they did show off some new stuff for Warcry, or more old stuff that they've revealed before that they're finally putting out. There's going to be a new Warcry starter set, Catacombs, and it is going to include two Warcry warbands. The Scions of the Flame, which we've known about since Warcry came out, that was going to be a faction added in at some point. They are finally coming out. As well as they showed these models off, I think, earlier this year. This year's been fucking crazy, as everybody knows. But there is the Kainite Shadowstalkers. So, basically kind of like Daughters of Cain, but come to Warcry. So they're not, you know, they're their own separate warband from the Daughters of Cain and stuff. They do look really cool. Both warbands look really cool. But they're not necessarily new. You know, we've known about these warbands for a while now. I'm not complaining in those regards. It would have been nice to see like an actual new warband that we hadn't heard of or seen before. But it's still a nice addition. And I will say, too, that the terrain set and stuff that they have looks a little bit different from what we've seen before. This is going to be very much focused on a dungeon sort of feel to it. So as opposed to having all of the, you know, climby stuff and everything else, this is very two-dimensional Warcry. So probably not big fans of this for my Corvus Cabal specifically, but I'm assuming that, you know, looking at the terrain and whatnot, I'm assuming that it's supposed to represent walls and stuff, because there's a bunch of random doors and gates and archways. I would certainly hope you're supposed to play it as if you can't see through the walls most of the time. Yeah, there's minimal amounts of terrain here. There's quite a... I guess I should rephrase that, though. There's a lot of separate pieces of terrain, but they're all just archways and gateways and doorways. So, but yeah, not, once again, this is not actually a complaint. I just found it rather interesting, given that Warcry was very obsessive with its 3D gameplay dynamic, and Catacombs looks very much to do the exact opposite, is to make it very 2D. Just, like I said, kind of an interesting choice overall in those regards. So, moving on here, Warhammer Underworlds, they did announce a new season of that, that is going to have the Lumineth Realm Lords, Jesus. They are going to be featured, as well as Hedonites of Slaanesh. Those will be the two warbands featured in the core set for the new season. So, you know, looks kind of cool, if, you know, aesthetically as far as the models goes. I've never played Underworlds, don't really have much interest in doing so, but they look kind of cool. They did, however, add on that they are going to be bringing Seraphon to Underworlds, and they did show off this one chameleon skink. I really like the model. I think it's just kind of a fun little model. It's just he's kind of perched up like a chameleon would be on a limb shooting his blowpipe. But what's kind of funny about him is he does have a what looks like a poison toad strapped to his leg. And he's just got his darts shoved in the toad's mouth. So using the toad as his quiver. I just thought that was kind of a fun or interesting little twist there. So... they also did, show an add-on expansion, Arena Mortis, which is going to be just more, it's Underworlds, but you're going to be using a single fighter, and just playing against multiple people. So an arena-style game instead. It's, you know, once again, sounds kind of cool, but I'm just not familiar enough with Underworlds to really comment either way, as far as gameplay goes, whether I think it'd be worthwhile. But, you know, the more the merrier as far as content goes. So, and then lastly here, and this was one that surprised me, and I was very happy to see it, a new box set for Age of Sigmar that is going, it's called Shadow and Pain. Which has Daughters of Cain versus Hedonites of Slaanesh. But what made me rather happy about this box set was that A, models look great. B, I love the Age of Sigmar box sets for the most part. They're just nice little ways to get tiny little armies rolling. One of my favorite things about Age of Sigmar is just the aesthetics of all these different armies. They're very diverse. So these box sets are good ways to kind of get those collections rolling. But the new models are not only really cool looking, but we actually have finally getting mortals added into the Slaanesh realm. Up to this point, you know, whereas the Blades of Khorne had the I can't even think of what their technical name is and stuff. But the point is that they had these mortal dudes. I think Bloodbound is what they were called. I don't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, so you had both like the mortal guys, like the Slaughter Priests and shit like that, fighting alongside Bloodthirsters and Bloodletters and stuff. Nurgle has, you know, the Rotbringers, with like the Blight Kings and all that stuff. And then Tzeentch had the Arcanites, but Slaanesh was just purely demons from, you know, when it launched and stuff with the Hedonites book. But yeah, they are now adding mortals in. So it does include a Chaos Lord that he definitely looks like a Judas Priest reject for sure. Lots of leather cladness going on with a whole lot of skin showing. Definitely what you would expect, though, out of a Slaanesh mortal army. Now, this doesn't include a full mortal set, It does have this lord, and then I believe that there's some mortals, yeah, riding on, like, the backs of fiends as well. But there is, like, the demonettes of Slaanesh are there. They got their chariot dealio, which, once again, I don't remember the name of that right off the top of my head either. But some really cool stuff there as far as appearances go. But then also with the Daughters of Cain, they have a new leader model, the Melusai Iron Scale. She just looks really badass. You know, she's just angry as fuck, snakes for hair, and regular hair for hair. And just, she just looks very angry. Really cool looking model. I love the pose of it, and the way they painted it up to in the pictures there just looks really cool. So, I think it definitely, you know, I think it'll be a nice box set for those who are of the Slaaneshi persuasion and are excited to be finally getting some modicum of mortals added in. Because generally speaking, too, at least in my experience, most of the mortals in the Chaos armies have been your stronger suit, generally speaking, as far as what you want for your army. Particularly in the case of Magikin, the Rotbringer stuff with the Blight Kings in particular. Blight Kings are just fucking nasty. So, the last thing that they did announce was the Broken Realms. So they're doing a narrative event again with Age of Sigmar. Broken Realms is going to start off, by the sounds of it, with more of like a civil war sort of aspect. So you have, you know, you have the Daughters of Cain and Morathi. You have Alariel with the Sylvaneth. And now you've got like the, and then also too, obviously the Eidoneth Deepkin. And now they're bringing in those Lumineth Realm Lords. And yeah, it sounds like from what I can gather that even though they're all in the same Order Alliance, Grand Alliance, excuse me, it does look like the elves are getting up to their old shit from the old world and just really hating on each other. So, you know, big old civil war sort of stuff breaking out in the Order Grand Alliance. And this is just meant to be more as a start to this narrative event. Those Broken Realms is a overarching event series. First book will be Morathi. So totally, you know, it's going to be focused on Daughters of Cain. But will also, you know, probably feature a few things here and there from scenario perspectives or whatever that would affect other players. But overall, if it's going to be adding a bunch of new content to Daughters of Cain, it's still going to be important to players who battle against Daughters of Cain to be aware of all this new content. So, but yeah, you know, it's a couple weeks late now as far as this information goes, but whatever, fuck it. I put out the podcast that I've been wanting to do discussing all this new good stuff. So yeah, there it is. You know, overall, I'm hoping to put out some, you know, more on-time-ish content here in the near future and whatnot. I once again apologize if this took a little bit longer to get to. And especially if there's anybody out there who does really enjoy listening to this, I want you to know that I do appreciate that you listen to this. I do really enjoy doing it. It's just, yeah, it's just been a bit of a bear trying to find the time to do so lately. I'm hoping at some point things will start to somewhat coalesce where I can figure out just a nice stable schedule to get this out more regularly, more consistently, you know, that people can expect it. So, but before I go, I do want to make a couple announcements. I have some tentative plans and will probably be starting up some type of events here in the very near future. I admit I have my hesitations, but the store that I agreed to do events at, back in January? I'm trying to remember, it was January or February, I don't remember exactly when, I had initially approached them about it when they had put up a post on Facebook. They were looking for somebody to start doing Warhammer stuff, and I stepped in. I'd only managed to do a couple of events, though. I think I did two or three events before the whole COVID thing totally struck in mid-March here in the States. And, you know, and then I was like, well, shit, I guess we're putting that on hiatus for now. But yeah, the store owner contacted me early last month. I was going to say early this month, but we're in September now. Contacted me early August, just checking in, wondering when we get the ball rolling again. And I did told him, I admittedly was hesitant because of everything going on. But I do want to get back. I want to get back to playing. I would love to get back to being a part of the community more regularly. And stuff. It's just, yeah, between new job that I started right when the pandemic started and the pandemic itself, time has not been my ally. And there's just the general health safety concern. And, admittedly, as of right now, with everything that's going on with all the schools reopening, you know, I might plan an event and end up not being able to anyways because of lockdowns and whatnot. There's definitely a lot of talk and rumor and stuff that's going to be coming our way soon. So we'll see. But if you are listening to this and you are in the West Michigan area, I am going to probably be doing something either late this month or early the following month. So either late September, early October, to start getting events rolling again. And I think my animals are fighting each other in the background. Thank you, guys. But yeah, we shall see. Like I said, with everything going on, a lot of things have been getting canceled and everything. School's reopening and it's getting crazy out there. So I even know a couple people right in the small town I live in who have started getting that COVID, getting the Rona. So we'll see. But on that note of canceling things and whatnot, I don't know if I ever mentioned specifically on here or not in the past, but whether I have or haven't, I will say that Krista and I have decided to postpone our wedding ceremony. It was supposed to be this Halloween, but because of everything going on, it is not going to happen any longer. We did not want to spend the money any further. We've already spent some money, but we didn't want to spend any more money investing into something that may just get canned last minute. And as of right now, we can't technically legally do anyways. We are limited on the amount of people we can permit into a social gathering right now. I think, or at least last I knew, it was limited to 10 people. Not that we were planning for hundreds, but 30 is more than 10. And so, yeah. It's just not going to happen. So that's the unfortunate thing. That being said, I did want to make an announcement that of something we recently went public with. We're actually already married. So you may have noticed sometimes when you're listening to my podcast, I tend to stumble over what to even call her outside of calling her by her name. Just simply because, you know, her being my wife is or was not public knowledge. We have been married since actually right around the time the pandemic started, March 13th. It was not pandemic related in any capacity and stuff. It was something we had kind of tossed around doing and whatnot. Even before we got engaged, we just kind of talked about, well, we could get married, you know, just do the legal thing and do a ceremony separately, admittedly, just because we really wanted, and that's part of this whole thing too with this ceremony, we really wanted to do it on Halloween, and now we cannot do it, which sucks, and we don't want to wait a whole nother year before Halloween rolls around, etc. But we had already just kind of tentatively decided we would just get married in advance legally, we'd do a ceremony later, and then go public when everything else, you know. But yeah, we had various personal reasons for wanting to do it sooner and stuff anyways. It just kind of worked out in a weird timing fashion too. We decided if we're going to do a ceremony on Halloween, we wanted to do the legal thing on a Friday the 13th, maybe that's our fault for 2020 in this case, so we apologize if we set it off. But it actually started just a handful of days. I think it was that Tuesday night they had announced that things were going south fast in the States. And by Friday, there's a lot of, oh, we don't know. So we ended up changing a bunch of our plans as far as how we planned to do it because we didn't know what was going on. We ended up just getting married in our dining room. But we had some fun with it, set up a shrine of toilet paper and Clorox spray, and we all wore masks, even though at the time you didn't have to wear masks or anything like that. The guy who officiated even wore one of those old school plague doctor masks and trench coat, hat, the works. And we had a lot of fun with it all the same. It sucked that our initial plan, even then, we weren't going to carry it out anymore because it was like, well, shit, we probably shouldn't go out and do too many super publicly, publicy things right now with how this shit's starting. But yeah. So, long story short, I'm married. I am married to my beautiful wife, and she's really fucking cool. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So, but March 13th, 2020 is actually our anniversary, and I just wanted to make it known, make it public. So, but I think we're going to call it a call at that. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can also follow me on Twitter at @RegimentalVox. And you can hit me up on Patreon, patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox. Any amount you can donate helps. Every dollar that I would get in will go towards helping make better content. So, but I will let you guys go with that. Thank you all for listening. I will catch you all hopefully next week. This is Caleb Myers signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.